It was only a few years ago that the stance I had on marijuana was branded as unfashionable and out of touch by many people in state politics on both sides. There has been a big turnaround of opinion.
Now I was right, eh?
Mr. Howard said many Australians had been successfully persuaded not to smoke tobacco the last 30 years, and we ought to be able to do the same with marijuana. But it means that people in a position of influence and leadership have to see that marijuana is as great, if not greater, a menace than tobacco consumption.
Whoa.
Some of those same people who think it's virtually a crime to smoke a cigarette think that somehow or other it's clever to go in the opposite direction on marijuana. Well, it's not.
It is quite clever, isn't it?
I thought so.
Well, the question is prohibition.
It's a great leap of faith, a sidestep, and sort of a lateral branch off all at once. Yeah, I think it's very clever. Yeah. So there, John. Now, doing that into the microphone, that wasn't clever. But our stance was still clever.
I just want a banner saying prohibition don't work. Idiot. Tyrant.
I don't think
you're not shutting
it's
up.
It's not an argument about whether pot hurts you or not. Prohibition doesn't work.
No, I'd like to see us turn against ourselves like that, and for us to start a go away. Don't come to Nimbin. Don't smoke marijuana. You know it's bad for you.
Yeah, you know it's bad for you.
We were wrong all the time.
Take your shooting drugs.
Close down the embassy.
Yeah, it's safer to use heroin. But don't smuggle it.
Or methamphetamine.
But don't smuggle it. Or at least not from a country like Indonesia.
And whack it up your arm.
Or Singapore.
Yeah, good thinking, everyone.
I think that's the only way to go.
Have you bought the needle company or something?
I have. I've bought shares in a stainless steel syringe production company. We are going to get the whole world into a venue.
Well, I suspect John Howard, he's conquered the whole of Australia.
I know, he's conquered me.
He's taken over, but you know what?
No, he's won.
I think he's bitten off a little more than he can chew.
He can chew me.
There
he's finding me a little gristly. I keep on complaining. Hey!
I always knew you were deluded, guys.
Just see what happened over there.
No, and you know why? You know why they can't deal with it?
What?
Because their son smokes it.
I know.
Or their grandson smokes it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's out there.
No, in Howard's world, they're going to get rid of it, mate. And his son will turn to ice.
That's right.
Eckies.
That's right, like a good son should.
Yeah.
And it's not so much
it's going to be the testing, because it stays in your blood so long. It's going to be pushed out of the workplace. The only people who'll smoke will be ferals in the bush without a car.
Mm. Or a job.
That's me. I got my hand up.
People out there. Yeah, me too.
I got my hand up. It'll be about back to the
It's earth. A way of chasing us back into the cave.
Yeah,
it's going to work like a charm unless you give in, like I have. Unless you say, yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. No, we were wrong. 100%. Sorry. I'm going to buy a suit today.
No, fuck the suit.
Mardi Gras just to finish off.
Fuck the suit. Do the religious thing.
We'll have a hippie in a coffin. Carry him through town. The death of the Nimbin hippie, no more.
The Church of the Holy Smoke.
We're
will
all
visit
gonna
Howard
dress straight
for the budget, and ask that they tax us and officially recognise us
yep.
as a religious movement.
Yep, we want to be taxed like every other church.
We want to be legalised. We want to be allowed to grow our own.
I think you've got to be able to
just like the Catholic Church.
Yep. I think you have to be able to have big figures up.
We have very big figures,
mate. We can bring them up.
I've been eating as much as I can.
We can bring them up because I'm buggered with these new laws. Because I don't know about you guys, but me personally, I'm reincarnated from a plant. I was a big, hefty female marijuana plant not so long ago.
Outdoors or indoors?
Outdoor.
Yeah, you're right.
From the Hindu Kush, I flew down here.
Okay, and
human-like.
What are you trying to? What's the point of showing
there's no psychosis?
If I'm tested by police, they're going to say, shit. There's Sheila. She's 87% THC.
That's true. So?
Well, I'm buggered. Not only will they not let me drive anymore, they'll lock me up.
The word is the saliva testing papers are on the minister's desk at the moment. It'll be through in a few weeks. I reckon they'll stay in Sydney. Others seem to think they'll come up here soon, but they might come up here for Mardi Gras, but not before it, I reckon. What a place to test it.
What a joke that would be.
We've got
what
1 year left on the DA.
That would
clearly
be.
We've only got 7 years left on the end of the fucking planet.
No,
get your tushy shifting here, my friend.
That's why no one's really that worried.
Mardi Gras, 5 a.m. Monday evening's meetings. It's going to be hilarious. So you're going to have a ball come. Down the lane.
Which number Mardi Gras is this one coming up?
The 14th.
And we've got 6 years left. So we're only going to get 20 Mardi Gras in before the end of the world.
The end of the world is on the 20th Mardi Gras day, I think.
On the 20th Mardi Gras.
Well, Mardi Gras is the centre of the
universe. May the 1st, 2012.
It's the sacred ritual in the southern hemisphere.
At 420. I'm going to be blowing smoke by then, let me tell you.
You are?
I will.
You'll be blowing smoke in 6 years?
I'll be blowing smoke at the Mardi Gras in 6 years' time, I reckon. Have
you seen Howard blowing smoke on the new poster?
No.
And you've got this beautiful mask on the big joint. We're going to make a mask, we take the mask, I think Elsa suggested that. We do the mask down to Canberra. It sits right on the front of the joint. We'll give it a run at Mardi Gras. But to inhale, you've got to have the smoke coming out his nostrils, don't you? So it's belting out his nostrils. Then he's inhaled. Do you tell me, can you blow it out your nostrils without inhaling?
No, you can't, and because the fact that there are membranes at the back end of your nose, it'll absorb the THC straight and doesn't have to go to your lungs.
Yeah, no, Clinton.
Does not have to go down your throat and lungs.
Straight into the brain.
Straight into your brain, straight into that. Is it the pituitary gland up there?
No, that'll do. No, it won't take much for Howard, I'll tell you.
Pineal gland.
Anyway.
Pituitary down the back.
Yeah,
so we started making posters with John Howard's head on top stoned, and the witchcraft will work. He will be stoned by July when the National Cannabis Strategy comes down. Whether he's inhaled or not, he's going to be feeling it, I have no doubt.
Okay. I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will.
Now, I had something else important to tell you. What was it?
Can I just play this track of Jimmy's so that it's finished, so that if he needs to leave and take his CD with him, he can do so.
This is
an IBM Cafe Intergalactic Blues Mafia. This song is dedicated, he tells me, to the hemp barn, hemp embassy, all the guys up there, all the ladies up there, putting on the good work.
There's a big Nimbin Blues Festival happening this year.
The big Nimbin Blues Festival coinciding with the East Coast Blues and Roots Festival. It's the Nimbin Blues Festival, yeah. And who knows, maybe we can entice a few of the big names that are over there in Byron, playing over there, to perhaps nip over here just for a taste. I'm going to pay, as I said, to
I think it's written in the contract they're not allowed to go to Nimbin while they're playing.
No, we're putting up the banners. Don't come to Nimbin.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see what happens. I'll pass the word along to the ones that I can. We'll see if they feel like popping in. Anyway, check out this one. 1, 2, 3.
Allora, ragazza.
Oh, mira questa ragazza.
È calda, ragazza.
Sì.
Bit of Intergalactic Blues Mafia, and that song dedicated to the hemp bar up there. I thought I had something else lined up to go. I do. I'll just play that. We'll be back in. That's not life, and that wasn't the beginning of another song. You just dreamt that one. You just thought you heard it. Sort of went like, didn't it? Yep. Never mind. They're all outside talking to our recently arrived guest. He's been on the show a couple of times in the past. You might remember Dr. Keith Bolton, the man of a million marijuana plants. Yes, indeed. I don't know if he's still in the business. Are you gentlemen going to come inside or not? I guess not. I guess you're going to stand outside and just talk away. All the news, of course, is not on this side of the desk. I'm left alone. Completely and utterly, I could just play more music, but that would be kind of like copping out, wouldn't it? So I'll just talk and pretend that they're going to come in. Keith was saying he's got into constructing wetlands. Look, just hang on for 1 second. Oi! Yeah. Come on. Put it away. Get in here.
The lotus on the water would be beautiful.
The lotus on the wall.
He's looking at this bit of dirt down there. Inches long, so they're going to have an abattoir. So he's designed this floating lotus flower tent, which opens up fishermen out on the water, in the mozzie net, on the little boat.
And mozzie trap.
And apparently they caught a lot of fish, something to do with the shape of the bottom.
And you use the mosquitoes as bait, because they're big enough and they're still wriggling.
Yeah, so the fish are big.
They're as big as prawns.
And the mosquitoes like slide somehow under the water, the fish grab them, they get caught in the automatic net. They go through,
and
they get
sink.
Turned into what? Into paste again, like last time?
No, we've been making filet mignon.
Filet mignon. I see how the Japanese whalers, the whalers who were whaling for scientific reasons and only
too much meat.
And only selling the carcasses under incredible pressure from their local rich people at home, are having a lot of trouble moving it, even when it's diced into cans in the supermarket at giveaway prices. The current and contemporary Japanese society really don't want to know about it because they don't want to look bad in the eyes of the world either. You know,
anyway, mate.
No.
Well, did you hear what the Greens did in Germany, in Berlin?
No way they did.
Anyway,
in Berlin, or it might have been Frankfurt, I'm not sure. It's a major city in Germany. There was a whale beached itself and died
on the coast.
The German Greens got a big semi-trailer, lifted it up, put it onto the back of a truck, took it to the Japanese embassy and dumped it off. In front of the Japanese embassy.
And said,
here, you wanted whales? Check this out for scientific purposes.
Is that true?
True.
Is that bullshit?
It's true.
We've got with us in the studio Dr. Keith Bolton. Good afternoon, Keith. How are you? Put in the microphone, Gerald.
Good afternoon, the legendary.
So, Keith, tell me, how easy is it? I know that you're in the business of micro-wetland technology and construction. How easy is it to grow whales in a micro-wetland?
In case you didn't know, listener, this is the largest marijuana grower
I've introduced Keith before when you're outside as Keith Million Marijuana Man Bolton. So, I mean, is that good enough?
He's a big grower.
Well, I've been known by many names, Bob, but that'll do.
This is just to fill the listeners in on your colourful past. You did a piece of research on hemp as a mop crop at the Byron Sewage Works. Is this correct?
This is correct. Yes, I grew over five consecutive seasons a hemp crop looking at using effluent for irrigating the hemp instead of dumping it into the rivers.
And how'd it go?
Well, they grew like the clappers.
Of course.
And I think a lot of people would acknowledge that if you put lots of water and nutrients on a plant, they grow very well.
Okay.
So that's what the hemp did.
So what sort of size area were you working with, Kay?
Well, the first crop in my very own little backyard was a humble 400 square metres.
Okay.
And hard to hide from the choppers.
We spent a lot of time
running around the paddock with big...
I can imagine. And how big was the one down at the sewage works?
That was close to a hectare.
Impossible to hide from the choppers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that was tits on toast. That was out in the open.
Yeah, I can see that.
In fact, they sort of had this little thing where they'd have these helicopters would come over and hover over our crop for 5 minutes with little Japanese tourists taking photographs of it.
Yeah. Practicing spotting.
Half an hour later.
That was the police practicing spotting.
I love it. There's a little offshoot business, I'm sure, there in something. And what sort of... output? Did you measure the output of your hectare at the sewage works in terms of seed, in terms of fibre, that sort of shit?
Now, the last crop we got 21 tonnes per hectare of above ground dry matter,
Seed stalk?
That's all the stalk and all the leaf material.
Okay. And the seeds is included in that? Or were the seeds separated?
Well, we pretty much harvested it before the seeds really set.
Okay,
but I always
leave
a little crop. It's interesting.
So how long were you growing it for, Kay? In terms of per crop? How long was each crop in the ground?
Oh, about 100, 110 days.
Oh, right, okay. Yep.
So that's 21 tonnes per hectare.
21 tonnes per hectare of fibre.
That's nearly 4 months.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, 4 months. Which is only probably about halfway through some of the big sativa cycles anyway.
You won't get much more volume.
No.
But you get a lot more pith.
You get a lot more pith.
Plants, especially those sativa ones, when you take them young, it's they're not that pithy.
That's right. The older stalks.
But the older ones, they're pithy as all get out.
No, it depends how densely you grow them. If you grow hemp very densely, we grew it 200 per square metre.
Okay, whoa.
And they grow very tall and very thin.
Okay.
And so they've got maybe stems about the size of your little finger.
Okay.
And only the ones on the outside have got the big pithy stems, the ones that are more access to.
Okay, everything else is nice and thin and workable.
Yeah. And we can imagine why too, because around the outside, that is where people would pith on them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It happens. So, Keith, are you still in the cannabis trade, or have you... He's trying to hold back a little chuckle. You can laugh on here. We don't mind. Stop it. Are you still working with cannabis at all, or have you moved completely into the micro-wetlands business?
Hang on, I'm just concentrating here on Gerald.
I'll get
a clear
interview
in the corner.
So if you make about 8 tonnes of fibre, 8 to 10 tonnes of fibre an acre, how much seed do you reckon you get off an acre if you grew for seed?
Well, I didn't really grow for seed, but from memory you get about 0.5 tonnes per 2 tonne of seed per hectare per crop. And you can potentially get 2 consecutive crops.
So what's that mean, 0.5 of the whole, so a quarter so of
good,
the whole
a good grower can get about 3 tonnes per year if they grow two
per
crops
acre.
A year.
Per hectare, per acre?
Per hectare.
It's not that much, is it?
2 tonnes of seed, a lot of seed.
If you compare it to growing a bullock, say a tonne bullock, you're not going to grow that many.
How much can you get for 1 tonne bullock?
You get $600 or something, but you don't grow a 1 tonne bullock in a year.
Okay, how much can you get for
2 tonne? A 1 tonne bullock, no, you'll get a 1 tonne bullock.
More protein in
a 1 tonne bullock, you'll get well over a grand.
Yeah, well, but you don't get them. They're not 1 tonne.
Maybe 2 grand.
1 tonne is a giant.
Maybe 2 grand.
They take 3 years and they eat forever.
Not if you feed them hemp seed.
Yeah, well, by that time we've got 9 tonnes of hemp seed, mate, which is better for you anyway.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
A lot of work in the hemp, though.
Yeah, anyway, just
is there? Well, I thought
you just wanted to say something, so
no,
we wouldn't forget
to
about it.
I wanted to get a comparison. Anyway, Bob's question was, Keith, when Gerald was distracting you, moving right along into what you're doing now, which is sort of... Tell people are interested in what you've actually decided to do it for yourself and start a business, and you're doing small people as well. We've got a lot of small people listeners.
Absolutely.
Out there in the jungle. So you've got to get... Because the council's asking us, well, you've got to get rid of our shit and water in a nice way.
Well...
How do we do it?
Well, I guess in the previous 4 years, I was doing a lot of the mop crop stuff and working pretty closely with Southern Cross University, and they were supporting the mop crop project. This year, I've gone into a different arena. I guess I was in university, and you spend a lot of taxpayers' money, and you do all this research, and then you write papers, and then you go on and do more stuff. I wanted to do something a bit more hands-on, useful. So this year I'm designing and building wetlands. So I'm going out and getting my hands dirty and making wetlands from single houses to an Aboriginal village to council areas.
So when you say...
What do you do?
I'll turn my microphone back up so you can't
turn
hear me.
Wastewater into resource water.
How do you do it?
By saying effluent is simply that, by defining wastewater not as wastewater but as resource water. So
okay.
instead of saying...
Nutrient.
Instead of saying, we've got this wastewater, how will we dispose of it? You say, we have this resource water, how can we optimise the use
okay.
of it?
Okay, so does the average house produce enough liquid? Does the average house produce enough liquid to maintain a small micro wetland system?
Yeah, let's say a 2-bedroom to 3-bedroom house would have about 12 square metres of wetland area.
Really?
Hmm.
Wow.
And what do you put in the wetland area? Ask the question, Bob.
Oh, sorry, Michael's over there. Yes, okay, so I hear wetland, I think mosquito.
Ah.
Cure my fear.
Well, wetlands with above ground surface water, they produce mosquitoes. So
okay, so we're not talking with above ground. We're not talking pretty little swamps in the backyard.
No,
we're talking little ponds with brown lumps floating around in them.
Yeah, them too.
We're talking these plastic tubs which are gravel filled, and you flow the water through it, and you grow wetland plants like melaleuca trees, and
okay.
they hydroponically grow in this gravel medium. Now, there's no water above the gravel. It's all
mm-hmm.
maybe 10
yeah,
centimetres
okay.
below.
Yeah.
But these sewage-sucking saplings are pumping the water and nutrients out
okay.
and cleaning it.
Okay, right.
How deep's the gravel?
Well, you can... Between half a metre and 800 mils.
Okay.
Depending
right.
on what you want to do with the wetland.
And that's sieving it out, and the plants are sucking it up.
Yeah.
Does the gravels, in the end, congeal up and you have to flush it out, or
well,
what's itself out?
Not the ones with which treat sewage, because that's mostly organic, and organics can be broken down by bacteria, so it's like a self-cleaning filter.
Mm.
Okay.
Very
nice.
So remember we talked a month or two ago, Bob, about that in that magazine. We found a picture of it. There was a picture in the Herald in the sort of gardening section
yes.
or fancy new living of a local Nimbin place with several sort of flowing water swimming hole places. This was you. Was that you, one of your wetland things? No,
it could easily have been. Yeah, but it could easily have been Robin's little corner down
oh,
there.
Oh, that's Flibonite greywater.
No, but there's
and
yeah,
co.
Yeah, but stop it. No, but down at Robin's little place, she's got a number of holding ponds for fresh water, and she's got reed beds for stuff.
There's
no?
some
no?
hippie who's got the new way where the water, your swimming pool water is flowing in and out, and it's all you know. Anyway. It's a new way.
Well, I know that there's an eco pool out at our place right now, which is like a big plastic pool, a big swimming pool size plastic pool liner, but around it there's another donut shaped depression full of water plants, and then the whole thing is got a swale around the outside, so you get no extraneous dirt and water flowing into it. It's fed from a bore, and the theory, and you got fish in there, the theory being the plants and the fish will keep the water algae free.
No more chlorine, no more cleaning tools, no more
stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All that sort of stuff.
And you need to use soap, the fish will clean you.
It takes a while to build up. No, it takes a while to build up because you've got to get enough growth in this big, like, donut ring around the outside of it to actually start doing the filtering process, you know. It's the one that I know about. It's coming along. It's not there yet. It's still a bit algaed.
Anyway, so if you've got a swimming pool, if you tip a fair bit of dirt in and a few plants and sort of chip a hole out each end so the water runs in and out, it'd probably work itself out.
Probably would.
Yep, yeah. I reckon.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's about 26 and 27 minutes.
So
past
Keith,
one here. Keith, NMFM.
Can someone hire you to deal with their water dramas to satisfy council and to do the right thing and to use the water efficiently and keep it happening in the system? What's it likely to cost to set up one of these water systems for a house?
Well, I recommend, it depends, if people have got a composting toilet, then you're going to reduce the load on it. So I always advocate composting toilets. But for the materials of it, and it's not that cheap. Say the plastic tubs are about $700 each, so you need two of them.
Yeah.
And then you've got to fill them with gravel and put inlet and outlet structures. Now you treat the water, but you still got to do something with the water. So you can either have a pump-fed system, which then pumps that water and irrigates it around your garden.
Can you grow veggies in it?
Well,
no. In the gravel?
Why not?
You can't grow... Well...
They'll grow in it, won't they?
There are two growing places. There's a wetlands, and then the place that you reuse the treated effluent.
And why can't you grow your veggies in it?
Because councils don't like you to do it because it's got too many fecal coliform.
Okay.
Well, if it's just out of your sink.
What about Yandy?
I was going to say, can you grow your cannabis in it?
Well, put it this way. Let's say we're talking about a fibre plant.
I think they found
it's not
on
something
that
people directly consume.
Yeah.
Then certainly, I've been irrigating effluent with effluent.
Have you heard of any problems, Dr. Keith, in terms of smoking cannabis grown in human effluent,
that's where it came from, I think.
As in the wetland situation? I mean, does it soak up heavy metals into the plant and then you smoke them? Do you know this?
One of the problems with hemp is it's not a wetland plant, so if you put it in a wetland environment, little leaves will droop down.
Okay, it'll just go stalky. Yeah, it'll be too wet. Too wet.
It'll be too heavy.
Too wet to flower properly.
Too heavy.
What about in the gravel? Gravel.
No, I was thinking in the secondary area.
The water's 8 inches down.
But I'm thinking, you've got water coming out of it, and it's just, let's face it, it's your sink and your washing machine, if you've got a washing machine.
Yeah, and shower.
And your shower, so it's
soapy.
That's all it is.
Soap and skin.
And then comes from. And it's going out, and let's forget about the pot for now. You can do pot if you like. I know you're incorrigible. But you don't have to. What about having it right outside your house, your little garden? It never gets weed intrusion. You never lose any of your nutrient to other things because it's all like a big pot.
That's what I'm saying. It's great for it.
Like a big pot. So have your veggies in there. Why not have your year-round veggies in there? Straight out of your
Maybe
shower.
It's too wet for them too, Gerald.
Humans have been doing that for thousands of years or tens of thousands of years.
Maybe even millions.
It's only the 21st century you're not allowed to do it.
That's right. I mean, the Chinese.
They found out it's dangerous.
The health department
is prohibited.
Tony Abbott doesn't like you doing it at all.
Yeah. The life expectancy rate is going up.
I think you might get away with it. Especially if you disguise the tub. I think you might get away with it.
Now, it's all about flushing. If you flush properly, as we know from the hygiene babies...
Yeah, so, Keith, as a man who's... Did you work, actually, with hemp for fibre and soak-up stuff, did you, when you were doing your various bits and pieces working with cannabis in the past?
Yeah, I was looking at the industrial hemp.
Okay, You've heard the claims of our Premier that hydroponic cannabis, that is, cannabis grown with its roots in water... and artificial lighting rather than sunshine is actually 7 times more potent than cannabis grown with its roots in soil and natural sunlight. Have you heard this claim by Morris Yemma?
Well, I've heard him say a few weird things, and that's another one of the weird things, although I guess there could be some truth in it.
The weirdy,
so?
Wordy ones.
Would it be true? How could it be true, do you think, Keith? Couldn't the same strain indoors be grown outdoors?
Come on, Professor, we're nailing it here. Let's Chris Pyne.
No. Well, let's look at the hydroponic environment as opposed to the outdoor environment.
Right,
And so a hydroponic environment would be one where you have artificial lighting and you'd have a high nutrient medium.
Okay.
And so you'd increase the amount of photons floating around, so you'd increase the rate of photosynthesis, and by putting lots of nutrients in it, you could conceivably increase the THC concentration because they're little
using glands. There's just more energy in there to do it. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
And are lights as good as sunlight? Are they ever as good as sunlight?
You can have more photons per square metre with lights than you can with sunlight, I think. Is that
right? Do they make the same photons of THC, or are they different? The high G ones?
Stop it.
It's twisty out there, isn't it?
If they're posi photons or negi photons.
That's right.
And their spin.
That's a difference between dope that makes you smile and dope that makes you frown and get introspective. The negi photons. Nicky photons have been doing it, yeah.
You got that, Smoker?
So, Keith, at Mardi Gras this year, it's such a big issue, we've invited Premier Dilemma to come with his minions and have a big debate on Saturday in the hall on hydro versus bush. You reckon you'd be on one side or the other? Which side would you like?
You'd be on Yammer's side. You need some help.
I'm going to be the adjudicator. I'll sit on both sides.
We've got a professor to adjudicate.
We need a professor who understands the big words. There's big words when it comes to analysis of plants.
Ooh. Indeed.
He's talking some heavy shit now, man.
You can have a goddess on your side, too.
I want to be in there with Mr. Dilemma.
Yeah, okay.
I'd like to be on his side.
Helen,
he's right.
Oh, me too, me too.
Helen,
me too.
Our Nim Cedo has volunteered to be the MC in the big debate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be straddling the fence, so let him get the bars.
Yeah, I want to actually be on Morris's side.
He'll be on Morris's side.
We can white-hand it from within, eh, Bob? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I want to argue that it's at least 5 times stronger and rather than 7 times. No, hang on, 7. 10.
I got my maths wrong.
Sorry, look, it's okay, I'll get a good suit. Morris and I went to the same school. We had the same maths teacher.
Fair income.
I reckon it's 10 times stronger. Yep.
10 times.
Yeah, I've got proof.
This is the dilemma.
The old boys thing here, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Here's a prequel.
Now, I want to definitely argue on Yemma's side. My argument's going to be, all you bushies, you want no chemicals, then you go and chop up with tobacco. That's what happens.
Oh, that's
just
silly.
That's what happens, mate.
That's just...
What a wank. You want to make sure it's organic and chop up with tobacco.
That's a silly, spurious argument.
All right, I'll drop that then.
Makes us look like idiots.
Anyway. Now, we've got Andrew outside with two Amsterdam cafe owners and patrons.
Okay, so we'll have them...
And apparently they brought us a couple of pounds, one from, a pound each from each of the cafes to try and give away and distribute, and there's a big crowd of people outside.
And they're smoking, they're chuffing as we speak. So what we're going to do is just play a quick song. We're going to get into some of this black hash.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to suck it down.
Okay, we'll be back in whatever. If we haven't tried it yet, then we might not even be back. We've still got plenty of time.
Hold on, don't light... Oh, it's too late, Bob. I've got to go.
Okay, go on. Anyway, Keith, thanks heaps for coming in, mate. It's been really good. And all the best in your...
And what was the name of your business, by the way?
How can they find you?
Ecotechnology Australia.
You've got a website?
Yeah. www.ecotechnologyaustralia.com.
There you go. Too easy. Yeah. So if you've got shit you want to get organised, or anything else like that,
Ecotech.
And you're a bit scared to go to the standard commercial hydro.
But make sure it's Ecotech. Don't take any cheap inferior copies.
Ecotech is
in the phone book, and he's got a really nice office.
That's enough. Technology Stop, we're community radio. We can't say that anymore. Song, he says.
We're packed. Standing room only.
Standing
you're
song.
Out of it.
We're packed in.
I was jiving away.
Welcome, talking to the microphone.
And Andrew, we've got the doctor. He won't come over anymore, but now we've got two major guests from Amsterdam. You tell us about them. I've grilled
we've
them
got,
already.
We've Ferry from over at the Betty Boop. Hey, Ferry.
Hey, mate.
And Johan. How you going, Johan? From the Bulldog. Good.
Which had two cannabis cafes in Amsterdam.
Legal.
And I think the Bulldog's a big one. Big one? Legal? How many seats in the Bulldog?
About
56. Can we ask turnover? How many pounds to turn over a year?
What?
No.
Can we talk about that?
No, let's not talk about that.
How many towns does Amsterdam turn over a year, do you reckon?
No, it's more important, I reckon, talk about the laws that are affecting the Dutch and how it affects the coffee shops and always new laws being... Like here in Australia and New South Wales, they're looking at new laws again now, making it more tougher. And and it's the same happening in the Netherlands, is that right?
Okay. I'll just rephrase that. Have the laws changed in the Netherlands recently?
Well, they change constantly.
They change constantly. A little bit closer to the microphone. Thanks, Barry.
It's not the law that changed, but everybody has a voice and everybody's saying something. And
they're upgrading the rules all the time. Yes.
Okay, so what's the government's stance, official stance, being on the whole cannabis cafe situation? Has it changed, or are they just riding along and the press changes its mind and these people talk about it? Have they actually changed legislation?
I don't think there's any change. But the thing is, nobody really knows what it's all about. They say you can't sell more than 500 grams. You can't have more than 500 grams in the place.
Okay.
And then the policeman comes in and measure it, and then they say space cake. Oh, is that on the list? You know, stuff like that. They really don't know what they're doing.
How often do the police come and check?
Two times a year.
Okay. And it's been reduced, Bob, from 400 to 250 shops quite recently by the pressure from the EU. Okay. Correct.
I mean, my math tells me that they're saying 100 customers per day is your limit. Is this correct? 500 grams, 5 grams per customer. Is that pretty average?
No.
Anyway, the truth probably is the tourism has become a huge factor in it. You know, unofficially, you're a major tourist attraction, I imagine.
I think so, yes.
Mm. And I think it's a bit true in Nimbin on a tiny scale.
That's kind of true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what about, like, they talked about changing laws, like only the Dutch could buy from the coffee shops. Is that happened, or they talked about it and they don't talk about it anymore?
Well, there was a minister who said that he would rather have everybody a pass, Dutch people a pass, but that's against the law because you discriminate. So I was happy. I can refuse some customers I really don't like, but you know, you can't do that because it's not ethical.
No, indeed. So, do you notice a difference in things like police harassment or enforcement as the attitudes change, even though the laws stay the same, the way the police decide to press the law?
Well, you know, every year there's a different head of police in that sense.
We have that here too.
And they have their own interpretation of the law. Yeah. And every time you have to explain, no, listen, the guy before you said it was okay. Well, I'm saying it's not okay. Like, T-shirts or menus on the bar. One say yeah, it's okay, and the other one said no, it's not okay. You're advertising. It's.
But you know, those small things, they can shut you down.
They've
got three warnings, and then it's.
Well, this a T-shirt on the bar? Pull your clothes.
The funny thing is, we can't advertise. We cannot have photos of marijuana or whatever in the shop.
Okay.
And next door, they're selling T-shirts with stoned again and marijuana leaves on. And
this is a separate shop next to the cafe.
It's a tourist shop.
Okay, yeah.
And they can, and we can't.
Okay, righto.
So they're just trying to keep a blanket on it, really. So does the whole industry a bit live day to day? There's not a lot of long... Do people not feel long-term security?
Well, I don't feel like that.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, they've been screaming and shouting for several years, and I don't think it's...
So how long have you had the coffee shop?
10 years, yesterday.
10 years, yesterday.
Yesterday, 10 years.
Yesterday,
yeah. Congratulations.
Happy birthday. Yeah, big clap from all of our listeners. And yourself?
I'm not the owner. I'm managing...
How long?
And it's 30 years.
30 years?
30 years, and it was on 17 December we had a big party.
Huge. Wow. That's awesome.
I wasn't invited.
And so how about, like, what about the pot use? Do many kids, do a lot of Dutch youth take up pot, or is it, how are the laws working out in the long term that you see?
The law of smoking is 18 years,
yeah,
and that's also in the coffee shops.
Yeah.
But yeah, what you say, it's more tourists, like people who come for it and the Dutch smoke, but once a while in the weekend. Or but you also have a small problem smokers, I think, and yeah, but like everywhere in the world, and it's percentage wise, it's lower than other countries. So
so if you get caught serving somebody under 18, close you up, close the door. Same as a hotel.
Yeah, but it's okay, I think.
THC content. So it's been getting stronger and stronger, the pot. Is it 7 times stronger indoor, like our Premier's been telling us here?
I don't know what your Premier is telling, but I know that in Amsterdam it's getting stronger every year.
And they test it over there. Can you tell us about strength or comparative or what's happening? How do they make it stronger? Is it just a breeding program?
Maybe you know.
No, I'm not a grower, but
I think it has to do with feeding and they make stronger strains.
That's what Keith Boltons was just saying. That according to what you feed it and the daylight or the sunlight hours or light hours, it may be the chemicals can make it stronger. I would have thought the strain would be the major factor.
Well, that's true. They make stronger strains every year.
Yeah.
Okay. And they mix and cross, and that's what's happening. And then I read a story about 5 years ago. It was average 8%.
Yeah.
And now it's 13%
average. Okay. It's getting pretty sloppy.
Do you see much outdoor cannabis over there in the coffee shops? Outdoor, grown outside. Yeah, there's still cannabis growing outside in Europe.
Purple haze night. Yeah.
There's a market for every even Australian stuff is being sold.
Okay. Is it weaker? Is it not as strong as the indoor?
Yeah, it's nowadays I think everybody.
Same.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. I think so too.
What we were talking about is our Premier, the Premier of New South Wales, has just come out and said they've introduced special laws against hydroponic growing cannabis as opposed to growing it outside in the ground. Actually, they've actually differentiated between how you grow it. And it's a lot worse to grow it inside than it is now to grow it outside. You can go to jail for 20 years if your children see you growing it inside. But they can help you in the garden outside and you get a rap on the knuckles, almost. But like he said, indoor cannabis has been shown to be seven times more potent than outdoor cannabis. Now, I mean, we believe he is simply telling a big fat lie. And have you seen anything that would indicate that in Europe?
No, especially not in this kind of area. I think you can grow them.
Exactly. I've smoked some mighty fine outdoor cannabis, and I would be floored to find any hydro that was 7 times stronger than that. It would be dangerous.
Maybe thousands of kilometres south. Yeah, it's a different situation.
Perhaps.
I don't know. I don't know. Really, but
I don't understand why people grow it inside here in this country.
Yeah.
Really? If we had the sun like this,
because of the helicopters.
Same problems in Holland. The only thing we have in Holland is rain and it's miserable, and that's why we don't grow it outside.
Exactly. Mm. Same here. The helicopters are all over the place.
You want some?
Is it true?
If we had more sun outside, we would. I think we are skipping the tulips, and everybody was growing.
What did you come here for? You've come to take some of our sun.
Now, is there any truth in the rumor that you guys are working frantically to finally clone the tulip and the cannabis plant, and just get away with it? Just smoke those beautiful flowers.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't.
Tulip, cannabis. Together,
that would be amazing.
The tulip and the you could just smoke the whole thing. I've seen joints rolled to look like a tulip. Beautiful. Pick the buds and just light them up. Fantastic. Look, we've just about got to go. I guess last question: is it true that you're over in Australia to think about setting up a franchise of cannabis cafes all over the country? Okay.
I'm absolutely not. That.
Fantastic. I think we have what we suspected. Okay, we're going to slip off with a bit of music, I think. Thank you, gentlemen. Ferry, and I forgot your name again.
Yohan.
Yohan. For coming on.
Where do we get a check?
At the door. At the door. You see the man. The red-headed fellow. I believe he's got some. We'll see you all just a little bit later on. I'm going to go out a bit of this. Hey, thank you.
Are we out of here, Bob?
You can go out of here, yeah. You may leave the room, Michael. You can leave the room, Michael. Michael, you can go now. Come on, off you go. I know it's a bit early, but off you go. Johnny Vales or Luke and Lyndon Aboriginal.